sir. For the record, would you... Okay. Good morning, sir. For the record, would you state your name and ABC number, sir?
Yes, Anthony Garcia, ABC number 195-197.
Okay, sir, can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, the officer just turned it up a little bit.
Okay, thank you. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning for your revocation hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant, and based upon the information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on March the 29th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, I do.
And on that statement, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. We don't see one in the room today, therefore may I assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes.
And I do believe that you do have some supporters in the room, sir. As you can see, Mr. Garcia, there are five board members participating in your hearing today, and they are, if you look all the way to my left, you are right, that is the Honorable Mr. Louis Colonis. Next to him is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. On the other side of myself is the Honorable Ms. Leah Rittenhouse. On the other side of Ms. Rittenhouse is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as panel chair today as well as board chair. Sir, and we also have in the room with us today Mr. Osborne. And he is, and that's who you should be able to see now, and that's Mr. Osborne. He's representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer today, sir. And I believe, just for the record, I believe that you might have, he's already signed something on your paperwork already, so I don't know whether you know him or not, but he is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Okay, Mr. Garcia and Mr. Osborne, the both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do, sir.
Thank you. As indicated, sir, we have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read both of them. Once I read them, please tell me whether each one of them true or false. The first one reads that you have violated the Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine. On about February 20th, 2018, per the test GCMS lab report dated February 23rd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. The next one reads that you have violated the Arizona condition of supervision number 2. As demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to the Maricopa Reentry Center on February 27, 2018, as verbally and per written instructions directed on February 27, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Garcia, I move to find that he is in violation of the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, who is seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Kawanis, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse. Now, sir, we are going into phase two of the hearing. Phase 2 is a very important part of your hearing, inasmuch as we conclude with Phase 2, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to return you to the community. However, we begin Phase 2 by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. Once we get that information, then we're going to come back and the board will talk to you at that point before you make any determination. So at this time, we're going to ask Mr. Osborne, if he would be kind enough to give us some background information. Mr. Osborne, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Garcia was released from DOT custody on March 27th, 2017. He was arrested on February 28th, 2018 at the Northeastern Parole Office on a tech violation and was returned back to custody that same day with 0 scum days with a community supervision end date of September 26th of 2018. Current conviction, 2013, promoting prison contraband, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2005, theft, 1 year. 2005, shoplifting, 1 year. 2005, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2007, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 9 months. 2010, endangerment, 1 year. And 2010, armed robbery, 6 years, 6 months. He's had 3 terms with DOC, had a CUIR score of 3.3, a minimal score of 2, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is that CGN gang information noted that he's an admitted member of the Tupavia East Side, and he's a suspected New Mexican Mafia member. Prior terms of supervision, 2005, TIS released, arrested for new felony possession of marijuana, returned to custody, and reached the CSED while in jail. In 2008, TIS completion, 3 months. He has a significant disciplinary history with drugs, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrests, 2000, burglary tools possession, AZ juvenile detention. 2000, unlawful use of means of transportation, AZ juvenile detention. 2000, marijuana violation, AZ juvenile detention. 2000, burglary, AZ juvenile detention. 2000, stolen property, AZ juvenile detention. 2001, unlawful use of means of transportation, AZ juvenile detention. 2005, marijuana violation, AZ felony conviction probation. And 2006, endangerment, AZ felony conviction probation. And he has a community risk score of GA-V9.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Osborne, for that background information. Okay, we're back to you, Mr. Garcia. We just want to talk with you a little bit to get to know you better, so that we can make an informed decision at the end of our discussion here this morning. First of all, I do take note that when you were released, you were to be located at 1942 East Yale Street in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was no other approved residence. Did you remain there on East Yale during the entire time that you were out, sir?
Yes.
Okay. I take note that we do not show that you had employment. We don't see any pay stubs. So did you have any employment while you were out, sir?
I was working for my brother Benjamin, paid by Ben.
Okay. What kind of work were you doing with your brother, sir?
Painting.
Painting, okay.
And yeah, I was helper. He was my boss, and he paid me through checks, and at which time I go and deposit them into my Chase account.
Okay. But you didn't have any...
I showed my prior PO, prior to me having contract for Sega, Radke, I showed him a few of my pay stubs, so...
Okay. Well, as long as you're working, that's the most important thing, and... it's not necessary, you know, for all of that to be on record, but we just like to, you know, just ask that question, and it's always good to have a responsible employment, because people will always need somebody to do some painting, and especially when it gets warm in the summer in Arizona, there's always people who have to have some painting on their house and so forth. But we're glad to know that you do have a skill, sir. So that's the most important thing. Yes, sir.
I still do have a job waiting for me when I get out as well.
Are you going back with your brother, or are you going to do something else then, sir?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to go back with my brother.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Okay. So keep it in the family, so to speak. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. I do take note that while you were out initially, you had, I believe, 12 UAs, and 11 of those were negative, and then you had the one that was positive, and that was for methamphetamine. After all of that time, sir, with all of those negatives, 11 negatives, so how did you end up using methamphetamine, sir?
There's no excuse for me using it, you know. I wasn't trying to hide it. I found out that I had a test that day, and I went ahead and I went to test it, knowing that I was going to be dirty, knowing that I got contact from my PO on the 21st, that's for Sega, letting me know that she found out that I dropped dirty, and I'll share it with her about it as well. She told me to come in this year on the 28th, in which I did, 28th of February, went and seen her, and that's when she talked to her supervisor, let them know that, yeah, I made a mistake. She gave me a directive to go check myself into the MRC program, in which I didn't. I wasn't able to get down there in time for whatever reason, or which is where then I called her the next morning. She let me know that I needed to go talk to her. So Wednesday morning, I went and showed up like around 10, 10:30, and the rest is history. But I'm not hiding the fact that I used, no. I did use, and that I was on the show that I'm human, you know. I wasn't as strong as I thought I was, and it happens, no.
I do take note that, you know, on the request for the warrant, that you indicated that you had used again the meth from an old friend. Was this someone that you had known? I think at one point you was in a game or something, or is this someone that you just knew from the community?
Yeah, one of my friends in the neighborhood I grew up with.
Okay. And so that individual had some methamphetamine and just offered you some, and you didn't say no at that particular time. But I think initially you did suggest to the, correct me if I'm wrong, that you did deny it first, but then you admitted that you had been using it, and I think that as well as I believe that you had also had consumed some intoxicating beverages, and there were some photos there. And the other thing that if you could share with me, and maybe I misunderstood it, or maybe I misread it, but it seems to me that when you did go to the parole office, that I believe it was you and your sister showed up with some illegal substance there. Is that correct, or did I misread that, sir?
Yes, she showed up with drugs in her possession.
Okay. And was that methamphetamine or some other drug, sir?
I'm not sure what it was.
Okay. And your sister, she was, at the time, was she on probation or community supervision, sir?
She was on parole as well.
Okay. And were y'all on parole for the same offense, or y'all for different offenses?
I don't know if she was on parole for
anything. I don't know. Okay. So,
all I know is she got approved. My mom just got approved for her as well, so that's where both residing.
Okay. So both of you were residing there at the same residence, sir. Okay, so you had been approved there. So I don't know what the board is going to, what the termination of the board is going to make, but you've already indicated that whenever you get out with us now or in September, that you will go back and work for your brother. Where do you plan to reside to when you get out the next time, sir?
I was actually hoping to check myself into the MRC program.
Okay, well, that's a good program. You know, that's something that you probably know because you've been in the system. That's something that you have to work out with your parole officer. We as a board cannot place you in that program, but the parole officer, you have to work that out with them.
Yes, sir.
But it is an outstanding program, sir. That's all that we hear about it. That it's a very good program, and we're just sorry that it didn't work out for you, because if you had gotten enrolled in that program, then we wouldn't have the opportunity to even be talking to you today. You would still be out there. But as you say, and my words are not yours, but things like that happen, and it did happen in your case. So at this point, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you at this time, sir. I don't see any questions at this. Yes, the Honorable Mr. Osborne, you want to share something with us, sir?
Yes, sir, just a couple of things. Since I was there that day, one of the supervisors on the site, when he came into the office. Like I said, he was very pleasant, and he went along with everything fine. He stated that, he was done, he might as well just kill his number, then he go back, and I told him it was his choice to do so. When he goes before the board, he could choose to or not to. I wanted to add that. I also want to add that his sister was in the office. That's one day they both came in. She also tested positive for methamphetamine. And they were staying together. When questioning him, he informed me that he was never living at that address. He was living with his girlfriend. So at that point, we did not know about that either, that he was staying with his girlfriend, that he was not living with the sponsor he was supposed to be living with. Also on 228, when his sister was being transferred to the back to Perryville, the transportation officer informed us that she stated that she was going to have to take the blame for her, but the drugs found in her purse belonged to her brother. She also stated that. The offender was arrested in the office for failure to follow directives, failure to program, and for use of methamphetamine. While CCO Senior Osborne and CCO Turner were informed the offender why he was being returned to custody, he stated that he had been staying, as I stated, with his girlfriend, just reading verbatim from the notes. While custody defender also regarded the heroin and meth found in his sister's purse, he also stated that he told her not to bring that into the office. So I just wanted to state those facts also.
Okay. Thanks for sharing those facts with the board. Any questions, board members?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Honorable Mr. Corona.
Thank you, Honorable Board Chairman Wright. Mr. Osborne, just a quick question. How much methamphetamine was recovered approximately?
I actually had the pictures and everything with his sister's warrant because it weren't on his possession. They weren't attached here as an allocation. But I did see the picture and had the CIU, which are the police officers that worked for us, show me the methamphetamine and heroin. It was a large sellable amount. But due to a chain of evidence mess up, they couldn't use it to press charges. They said it was a chargeable amount, I guess 3 to 4 grams, but they did send it for destruction. So.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Corrales. Any further questions at this time for Mr. Osborne? I see none at this time. I believe that we do have some supporters present for Mr. Garcia. Anybody here for Mr. Garcia? Yes, ma'am. Please, can you plan to make a statement?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward, ma'am. Okay, two things. First of all, would you state your name for the record?
Veronica Reyes.
And secondly, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you God, or do you swear for him?
Yes.
And what do you want to tell the board, ma'am?
I wanted to tell you guys that I am not giving up on this man. We've known each other since we were kids as well. I want to say 8, 9 years old. There was a large gap in our lives that we weren't in each other's lives. And I am very well aware of his criminal track record. But the person that is on paper versus the person that I know prior to his criminal history is not the same person. I have faith in the good soul that he is. Even with him now in my life, we were together. As soon as he got out, I was the one there to pick him up. I was the one there to ensure that he was working. And I think that my self-drivenness probably put a lot of pressure on him when it came down to him not being used to having that kind of motivation in his life. Him not having somebody to really be that backbone to say, you know what, you can do it. You have the strength. And we had our moments where I would like really battle with him because he would battle with himself when it came to that strength. And I was very fearful when his sister was approved for parole to his mother's house, which is one of the reasons why I did allow his stay with me, because I did not want him to fall back. And once the sister came home, a lot more of the old friends and acquaintances started coming around because they would go through contacting her. So that meant they were coming around more, because prior to him, I was very, very adamant to try and keep everybody away. I want to say that his willingness to stay straight and stay clean, and his willingness to keep the work and try and find other work in between the gaps, because his brother is a commercial painter. So sometimes they would have jobs and sometimes they wouldn't. So he would try really hard to find employment for, you know, additional income outside of his brother's company. So during that time, I am working also two jobs. I'm very, very motivated into myself. I don't like giving up on people. I've been giving up on myself, and I think I've achieved a lot compared to the neighborhood that we grew up with and we had. So, because I never wanted somebody to give up on me, I'm not giving up on him. And for that, I have spoken to people that I know, that I've come across, that have also told me that they're willing to give him employment in case his brother's job doesn't go through because of the downfalls, you know. I've also spoken to my mother, and I've spoken to a friend of mine that he's willing to rent his home to me in case, you know, he does get approved. I have an address for him. If I could just state it for the record, it's 4229 West Granada Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 85009, where it would just be him and I. That house is under reconstruction by the owner. He's my best friend's brother. For the record, he is also a parolee, but he does not reside at the residence. He resides at my best friend's home. I'm not exactly sure of the address, but it's off of 39th Avenue in Glendale. But he said that I could rent the home if need be, have that address provided for him to keep him away from the old neighborhood that we were used to and were all these other people accustomed to come around. Because even for me, it's like a comfort zone, but I never turn to drugs. I don't even drink in front of my parents. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do anything that will give anybody reason to say you are what you look like or what you appear when I'm not. I know I have tattoos. I love body art. All my body art symbolizes something. I'm a medical biller full-time, Monday through Friday. I do nail technician Monday through Friday in the evenings, all day Saturdays. So I want him to be able to see the motivation in me and continue to see it so that he knows that he can continue to keep it. And I know that regarding the allegations of the drugs being his or not, that's simply what they are. We'll never know. But I still continue to keep faith that those were not his drugs. And that's my honest opinion based on what I've seen. My family is very encouraging to help him as well. My cousins, they all pretty much are self-employed. They do contract maintenance. They're also willing to help him out. He has a huge support system on my behalf through my family, my father. His brother, unfortunately, wasn't able to make it. He had an actual bid that went through, so he couldn't fail to appear at the job site. But he did want to inform you guys that as long as he has bids and as long as he has employment for his brother, that he can count on it.
Yeah, I maybe I misunderstood something early on in talking to Mr. Garcia. No, I think Mr. Osborne's statement that he provided to the board. Now, when he was out at this address of Yale Street, now who was that? Whose house was that? Was that his parents or that's yours?
That is his mother's.
That's his mother, okay. And that's where he was supposed to have been residing, but because of whatever reason, the two of you were able to reside somewhere else to try to keep him out of trouble.
I honestly do believe that whole expression, it's a Mexican expression, I don't know how to translate it. Dime con quien te juntas y te diré quién eres. And the fact that it pretty much says that even though you're hanging out with them, you might appear like them and people will judge you the way these people appear. And like I said, I know him from prior to his criminal history, so I know the real human being he can be. I just don't think he has enough faith in himself.
But I think there are two things, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the board. In fact, I'm not speaking how I'm going to vote at the moment, but I think there are two things that concern me about this whole situation, that whole situation. There are other factors that will be taken into consideration. One is he was supposed to have been staying there with his mother, and I appreciate the fact that he relocated, that you relocated him to try to get him somewhere where he would not be around his old friends. I think that was the terminology that was used in the warrant, was old friends. But the problem there was he did not tell his parole officer that he had to relocate it somewhere else, you know. I can't speak for the parole officer because I don't know the circumstances, but that might have been very positive for the parole officer to say, hey, he's been out of trouble, and if he had known that he was going to relocate, and I think that that's one of the concerns that concerned me, is this is an individual. And I don't know why, you know, I guess all of us, everybody's different. And as you stated, you articulated so well today, so I want to say that to you. And he has a very good friend, girlfriend in you, and hopefully, regardless of whether he gets out now or later, he will understand that you're looking out for his well-being. But but unfortunately, you know, 11 negative U.S. and then here come methamphetamine, and you know, it's just wish he had been in a position where he would not have taken that one time, because you don't know when the parole officer is going to show up. You don't know whether they're creeping behind the corner, whether they're behind the trees or behind the bush, and all of a sudden he's there using methamphetamine, which was very unfortunate. But I want to see if other board members might have a question for you, because it's not my job to lecture, but that just came to my mind. And I'm going to make one other comment, and this is totally out of order. This board does not look at it in a negative way of one having tattoos. I know that you alluded to that, but this is not something that the board, you know, each person, that's left up to you. That's not something that the board would hold against you or anyone else, you know. However, sometimes when they do have these games, I don't believe you have a game when I'm looking at yours. You don't have yours, not a game. Sometimes we do look at the ones that, you know, show up a game, you know, those game size. But, you know, for today, we don't look at that, you know. I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it might have been different, but now it's so common for people to have tattoos and they range.
Yes, it's very common.
You know, I have observed that it's very common.
I'm fighting
but,
it.
But let me see if my other member might have any questions for you. I don't see any other questions for you, but thank you so much for coming today and for the wonderful testimony that you've given to the board, ma'am.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Okay. More of them, is any further questions for Mr. Garcia? I don't see any questions for you, Mr. Garcia. Well, coming to us then, anyone else here to speak on behalf of Mr. Garcia? Let me ask that. Anyone else here to speak on behalf of Mr. Garcia? Anyone else here to speak on behalf of Mr. Garcia? No one else here, sir? So we're back to you, Mr. Garcia. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination, sir?
I pretty much said all I had to say. I've learned a lot over the years, you know, of being in a county jail, prison, or whatever, and like I said, it was a dirty way, and I failed to check myself in the MRC, you know, which only proves that I'm human, you know. I'm still willing to go out there and check myself into the MRC if we're staying on parole today, and I just wanted you guys to keep that in mind, you know. I'm not giving up on myself, you know. That's it.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We will ask that you remain quiet and everyone else remain quiet. As the board goes into discussion and following this discussion, the board will make this decision whether to revoke your commitment to supervision or to continue you on supervision at this time, sir. The board is now in discussion. I find that Mr. Garcia is very interesting. Young man. I think that he has a future before him. He has a wonderful fiance, and it's just very unfortunate that he that situation developed where he decided to use methamphetamine, and that was very unfortunate. And the situation with his sister, which perhaps he had no control over, but we cannot ignore the fact of what happened with the sister, although the sister is not before this board today, but that was a very unfortunate situation, and especially when she showed up and in the vehicle from DOC, and there was some drugs, whether that was enough for sale or not, but She was on probation or community supervision. He was on probation and all community supervision, and that was just unacceptable. Therefore, I guess I said, you know, I do respect and I do feel that Mr. Garcia has a future, a great future before him, but I don't think that he's quite ready at this particular moment, but we do it by each individual board members independent of each other. That's what board members. Discussion or any board member at this time as it relates to Mr. Garcia. Don't see any at this time. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion. We see where it goes, and then we'll go from there. My motion is to move to find that Mr. Garcia, that is Mr. Anthony Garcia, ADC number 195197, did violate the terms and conditions of supervision, and he was delinquent by the use of methamphetamine, and his sister had that had the drugs in her possession, and he also did not provide information to his parole officer that he had changed his residence. With that being said, I'm going to further move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Motion.
Okay.
Motion by myself, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Kahwanis, agreed by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Mayor, the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. However, you will be out on September the 26th of this year. That time you won't have to report to parole officer. You will be on your own at that point. And I hope you'll take advantage, and I hope that you'll continue to listen to your fiance, to your girlfriend, because she want to be helpful to you, and I hear within you that you want to be helpful to yourself. But this is where we are at this time. Good luck, sir, and your hearing is over.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you so much for coming today, ma'am.